Have a seat. Sometimes I like little Christmas better than, I guess, big Christmas. Epiphany is called Little Christmas. It's when the Magi show up. You know, you've read the story. It's another way of giving gifts. And we've got some really good gifts in our scripture readings for today. From Isaiah, "Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. A multitude of camels will cover you." Camels. Do you want to be covered with camels? I loves me a camel. They're adorable, and I know they're important, but they are filthy creatures, and they smell really, really bad. And they spit. But somehow it's worth getting our attention in and amongst all those beautiful things that were read by adding the promise that we're going to be covered in camels. Just make of that what you will. But let's take it on faith, though, that it's worth having camels. And then we get to this section from the letter to the Ephesians. It reads today like one of those ads that's going to offer us something really important without ever getting to the point of what the offer actually is. You know the ones, you've seen them. "I'm going to give you the most amazing thing. This product has been around for 100 years. Very few people know what it's really about, but it's going to change your life. Everyone has taken this before, and they think it's terrific. And you know what? We're about to tell you what it's going to be." But we never actually find out what the product is until you click, and then they get you. Eventually, Paul will focus down on what it exactly is he has to say with some detail. But for now, we take it on faith that it's worth sticking with his letter till the end. And then we have the Magi in the gospel who traveled a great distance on a notion, on a hope, with no actual proof beyond some constellations moving above. But they brought with them a certainty. And this certainty was manifest in specific gifts. But they aren't actually new baby gifts. Certainly nothing that we would consider appropriate for a new baby. At least one of them was used for funeral rites. We could talk a long time about the nature of the Magi and their gifts and the theology of this passage and more. For every inquiry we might make, there would be more questions to ask. What are we to make of these texts, or any texts for the Bible, for that matter? Ultimately, I believe the intention is that we discover the nature of our relationship with God through these texts, and then how we might craft our lives to make the realm of heaven more visible to the people on earth. Wouldn't it be great if those outcomes were more plainly described and more specifically detailed in the texts? Unfortunately, we're not that lucky. To get these revelations, we're going to have to put in a little extra effort. Fortunately, we get to experience epiphanies all along the way. Not just today on the official Epiphany Day, but anytime we open our beautiful sacred texts that we have in our little Bibles. Epiphany, the "oh, of course" moment that we have, the moment of insight, of clarity, of understanding. The goal of reading and studying our ancient texts is to have moments of great insight and clarity and understanding. Most times it takes some prompts to get us there. And sometimes we get prompts from outside the bindings of our Bibles that we can use to consider the words of God. After Christmas, I spent a few days in Victoria, and I came upon an art installation that was, in many ways, an epiphany. Several, in fact. The artist posed a whole list of questions, and many of them have stuck with me. Question: what do you think it's all about? Question: what do you hope will happen? Question: what do you think about when everything's gone quiet? Good questions, bringing us to really interesting insight and clarity. When we encounter the stories in our ancient sacred texts, we may find ourselves pondering these same questions. We could, like the readers of Isaiah or the Magi, take it all on faith. Or we could work a little extra diligently to discover a deeper meaning, a meaning that's on the page, but also a meaning within ourselves. I mean, after all, the Magi seem to have spent a significant amount of time and energy consulting their wisdom traditions to find some assurance that the journey they intended to make would be worth it. Question: what do you like to think about when you're falling asleep? The readers of Isaiah had spent so much time in exile that Isaiah's words, while filled with hope and the promise of redemption, were also given a little bit of humor to lighten the mood. And that's nothing to spit at, like a camel. Question: what do you believe when everything seems unbelievable? What have you come across in your reading of the Bible that made you ask some of these questions? More importantly than questioning the text, we might reflect our questions back upon ourselves. The art installation also asks such questions as, what do you hold on to even though you know you should let it go? What do you do when you feel like it's all falling apart? All the stories captured in our scriptures are meant for us to ponder and consider in our own time and place and in our own circumstances. These are living words that are still speaking to us. What they speak carries the hope that we'll experience that moment of insight, that epiphany, where we recognize God speaking directly to us. Question: what do you think should be done? We recognize today as the capital E Epiphany, but in all fairness, every Sunday is an opportunity for a capital E Epiphany. Every week, we get to take up the gift that is the Bible that we receive, and in it, receive the gifts that the Magi offer us, in the same sacred gifts that the Magi offer Mary, in the same sacred gifts that Isaiah offers the people who needed to hear those words of hope. There is so much to discover in our Bibles. Things that lead us to truth. Things that lead us to discomfort. Things that lead us to question the Bible, God, and ourselves. They're all good questions. And things that will lead us to the hope of redemption. Like the Magi, we've got to take it on faith that something deeply good is in our hands when we pick up this volume. Like the artist in Victoria, we must also question it and ourselves as part of the journey. Here's my question to you. What would it be like if we approached 2025 as a year of epiphany? What would happen to us and the people all around us if we sought out the Messiah within our hearts and minds, turned to clarity, self-understanding, curiosity, and inquiry? Upon reaching their destination and having experienced the confirmation of their hope, the Magi had to do something different once they received their epiphany, different from their original plan. They went on a different journey than they had originally intended. The ancient Israelites, approaching their recovery from exile, were faced with the reality of having to do things differently in their lives every day in this revised covenant with God. I wonder how our lives as a parish community will change as we move into a new year of new understandings, of seeking new clarity. What fuels my journey of faith, and I hope yours too, is the same assumption Paul tries to express in his letter to the Ephesians today. That beautiful mystery of God, that grace given to us in all our various gifts, that promise of eternal riches in Christ, it's there for us to discover for us to recognize and go, oh, there it is, our epiphany. All we have to do is receive it, just like Mary receives those gifts from the Magi. Just know that God is able to give us gifts like a multitude of camels, but try to look beyond that, because the camels, as it turns out, are really very important. May the new year bring you much deep joy, much grace, a few laughs along the way, and an abiding sense of the belonging of our faith in this community. Because that is the good news.